Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and we want to thank you for listening to our radio broadcast this morning. Each Sunday morning at this time, we endeavor to answer your Bible questions with a Bible answer. We encourage you to write those questions to the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, 1369 127, U.S. 127 Bypass, Harrodsburg, Kentucky, 40330. And we also encourage you to check out our website, churchofchrist@harrodsburg.com. You will find recordings of these radio broadcasts. You will also find many other valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. At the end of our broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our services at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We encourage you to come and be with us at any time you might have time and opportunity, and you will always be warmly received. This morning, the questionnaire asks about some practices of the Church of Christ compared to practices of other religions. Why doesn't the Church of Christ ordain women in the role of clergy or pastors? Other churches have. Why is the Church of Christ not following suit? Are they prejudiced against women? Well, first of all, this person needs to know some facts concerning about what the Bible teaches. Yes, I understand that times have changed, but the question one should be asking, has God's will changed? The Lord Jesus was certainly not prejudiced against women, nor were the apostles prejudiced who were led by the Holy Spirit to guide them in all truth, according to John 16:13. The same word gave qualification for those who were called bishops, shepherds, elders, overseers, or pastors. Let me read just a couple with you. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. This is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. In Titus chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, we see the qualification. If a man be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dispensation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless, steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy, and not greedy for money. Now, among these requirements for the elder, the pastor, the overseer, is they must be the husband of one wife. Now that is the word of the Lord. A bishop or a pastor, they're one and the same. The questionnaire thinks they are two different offices. They are actually the same. And that is for one who is the husband of one wife. Shall we just totally disregard it because it doesn't fit with the thinking of the times? Pray tell me how a woman can be the husband of one wife. As for appointing women to the clergy, the Bible doesn't even say anything about appointing men to the clergy. The Bible doesn't even remotely hint at a clergy. Putting one into the office or work for which he or she is not qualified does not bestow honor towards God. As an example, I have never been appointed to the Supreme Court, Secretary of State, or made as Chief Surgeon at a major hospital. Am I dishonored? Are they prejudiced against me? No, I'm not qualified to hold those positions. Does that make me inferior to the other people who are? No, it merely indicates that we serve in different roles and in different fields because we have different abilities. Would lowering the standard in some of these fields to allow me to get in be a good course of action to pursue? Would you want me to operate on you then? Or, of course not. Even so, seeking to elevate one by changing the standards which God has set shows contempt for His church, for the Lord who designed it and built it, died for it, and governs that church through His Word. Women have never been considered second-class citizens and members of the church that Jesus built. The inspired apostle wrote clearly, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28. But equality does not mean that they all have the same office and the same work. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers in miracles? 1 Corinthians 12:14, 18, 20, and 29. Not all members qualify to fit into each category, but that never made them inferior or second class to the other members. They each fit into the body as the Lord has given them a place. There is a work for all of us to do. Did God show partiality in that each member was not a clone of every other member of the Lord's church? Of course not. Listen to the word of the Lord. And he put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28, 18. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Matthew 16, 18. He built it. He's ahead of it. He gave the plans for it. He designed it. And the qualifications and the way that it's designed and organized are given in his word. He decided who would work and in what roles and how it would be governed. Man has nothing to do with that arrangement at all, not if he's going to follow the biblical pattern. The Lord never consulted man about what he would like, and he doesn't do so now either. But God did make this statement in his word. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. In all the churches of the saints, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 and 34. This is not the doctrine of the Church of Christ. This is his standard, his stand, and not man. Paul wrote that men should pray and teach in every place. Then he added, let a woman learn in silence with all submission, and do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. 2 Timothy 2, 11-14. The women are not to preach in the public services is not a radical position espoused by my church. I don't have a church, but it is one which the Lord caused his inspired writers to record. Would you argue with the Lord, dear listener? The church never forbids women to pray in worship services. The one who the assembly should be praying as one leads the congregation in prayer. Can they be a woman? Are women allowed to lead in the worship service? No. They are permitted from taking, they have been rejected from taking that role and position of leadership. Why? Because God designed it that way. Yet, do they have other roles? Yes. Can they teach? Of course. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. Being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him more perfectly the way of God more accurately. Acts 18, 24 through 26. Apollos taught in the assembly publicly, but the correction was done away from that arena. Women play a role, a vital role, in God's plan for the church, yet the lead in public worship was given to men, not to women. If God has changed, I know not the book, the chapter, or the verse that says he has changed his mind. Your disagreement is with God, dear friend, not the Lord's church. God designed the church, he designed the roles of the church, and he designed the work of each individual member. But let me give you another illustration that is not just in not having women in the position of leadership as overseers or as preachers, but also others who have misunderstood. When I lived in Nevada, I got continually visited by so-called elders of the Latter-day Saints. They were young men going out on their mission work. They were between 18 and 20 years old, and they were going out on a mission work. But on their little tag on their white shirt, it said elders of the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. Then I would ask them, are you an elder in the biblical sense? Do you meet the qualifications of an elder? And they said, of course we do. And then I would take them to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and two of the qualifications that were in there was that they had to be married and to have faithful children. These men were not married. They did not have any children. Therefore, they were not qualified. Also, the Bible would say in those qualifications, they are not to be a novice. That means a new convert. These Mormon elders were going out on their mission in the first 2 years to give 2 years of their life to the church. They were really novice. If you got them off of the spiel that they had been taught to give when they went from door to door, they had no understanding of the Bible. And whenever I would ask them about these qualifications in Timothy and Titus, they knew nothing about them. Well, I understood that because they did not believe in the Bible. Though they claim to, though they claim that it is the right hand of the and the Book of Mormon is the left hand, and both of them together give you the whole mind of God, which again is their theory and their theology. It is not part of God's Word. It is not an inspired book. And yet, they did not even meet the biblical definition of elders, which they claim to be. Now, is God prejudiced against young men? No. They just weren't qualified to be elders or to be overseers. Same way with women. Women are not inferior. God is not prejudiced against women. The gospel isn't prejudiced against women. They just have a different role. They are to be under subjection to their husband. They do that in order to be under subjection to the Lord. That doesn't mean that they don't have knowledge. It doesn't mean they can't teach. They teach in other capacities. They can teach other women. They can teach children. They can teach their husbands at home. They can teach and correct people outside the assembly and show them if they have incorrectly handled the Word of God. Yet, in no example in the New Testament are they ever given the responsibility of leading in the spiritual area of public worship, whether it be preaching or whether it be in the oversight of the local church as elders of a local congregation. Now, the questionnaire thinks that we've fallen behind the times and that we're prejudiced against women. But I've showed you very plainly, it has nothing to do with being behind the times. It has nothing to do about being prejudiced against women. It has to do with following the pattern given in the New Testament. And in the New Testament, the spiritual leadership in the home and in the church was given to men. And women were given a different role. That doesn't mean she's inferior. Doesn't mean she's not important. Doesn't mean that she doesn't play a vital role. It means that her role is different. Now, it may be popular to ordain women in the clergy. It may be popular to ordain them as bishops and overseers. Now, it may be politically correct in the eyes of some, and it may be relevant in staying with the times. But, ladies and gentlemen, according to God's Word, they have misstepped their position. They are in a position God does not authorize. Thank you for your question.